I wanted to acknowledge the funding source for this feasibility pilot study. Can't hear me? You? How about that? All right. Good morning. This pilot feasibility study was supported by the NIH Center on Minority Health and Health Disparities. It was one of the export grants, and Dr. Cecilia Rosales is the PI at the Mellon Enid Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. The Lourdes Barea was the graduate research assistant on this study. She's also an export fellow and bilingual, bicultural. And Gwen Gallegos, the last person listed there, was also a member of our team. She is a certified diabetes educator who does a great deal of outreach and education along the Arizona-Sonora border. The other members of the team are from the Arizona Cancer Center, where they did the their nutritionists, and they assisted with the analysis of the 24-hour diet recall. The purpose of the overall pilot study was to explore the feasibility and effectiveness of a 6-month diabetes self-management social support pilot intervention for Mexican-American adults with type 2 diabetes who reside in an urban community in the Arizona-Sonora border region. And more specifically for this presentation was to report on the tailored, culturally appropriate nutrition component of this intervention. This is a map of the U.S.-Mexico border. The W, I guess, orients you to the west. We have 2,000 miles in our border region. 62 million people live on the U.S. side and 17 million on the Mexican side. We're approaching 80 million residents in the U.S.-Mexico border region. The population in these 10 states, 4 on the U.S., 10 on the Mexican side, excuse me, 6 on the Mexican side, the population of the 10 states surpasses the population of France or the United Kingdom. We're talking about a very large and significant population. The impact of diabetes is devastating on the estimated 700,000 predominantly Hispanic adults with type 2 diabetes that live on the north side of the U.S.-Mexico border. Diabetes disproportionately affects Hispanics, who are at greater risk when compared to non-Hispanic whites for diabetes-related complications and premature death. Mexican Americans, the largest Hispanic subgroup in the border region, are 1.7 times as likely to have diabetes when compared to non-Hispanic whites of similar age. And the area of in which this study was conducted is in Arizona. If you look at the, there's a cluster of 3 bullets just to the west of New Mexico. And you see Ambos Nogales is right at the border, and this is where I've conducted previous studies. This particular study I'm reporting on today was in an urban community that's 65 miles north of the Arizona-Sonora-Mexico border, but still considered within the border region. Not advancing. There we go. Okay. This diabetes self-management social support intervention was composed of a group component and an individual component. The group component was delivered in 6 monthly 2-hour sessions that were conducted at a Catholic church that was accessible by the public bus system. We had a standardized interactive group education followed the ADA recommendations for diabetes self-management support behaviors for optimizing glucose control. The baseline data that we collected helped us to be able to tailor the group level intervention. The diabetes self-management behaviors that call for major changes in everyday lifestyle patterns are challenging for Mexican Americans in the border region, primarily due to a critical shortage of certified diabetes educators, and obviously diabetes educators who are bilingual and bicultural. And also because of a lack of culturally competent diabetes self-management programs in the border region, this intervention responds to that gap. The intervention for the group level was essentially a 30-minute educational intervention provided by the CDE, followed by a one-hour promotora-facilitated social support session, and ending with a 10-minute promotora-facilitated physical activity session. So we're not moving yet. Here we go. All right. The individual component of the intervention included three standardized modules, healthy eating, physical activity, and diabetes distress management. The modules were delivered by promotoras, community health outreach workers that were from the community in which the intervention occurred. And they delivered the modules in the participants' homes during three 60 to 90 minute sessions. The modules were scheduled to follow within 3 weeks the group level topic. So in other words, when the topic unhealthy eating occurred in the group level intervention, within the next 3 weeks, each of the participants had a promotora in their home to deliver the individually tailored component. The nutrition component, which I'm speaking about today, included a 24-hour diet recall, data that we collected at baseline, not during the intervention. The tailored intervention had portion distortion, in which we used food models and label reading right out of their pantry, the foods they most frequently eat. And we had a fast food guide in which they would select. Fast food is very commonly consumed by this group with type 2 diabetes, and in these particular neighborhoods, very saturated by fast food restaurants. So we had a fast food guide, and the promotoras had them identify those foods they most frequently eat, and looked at the calorie, fat, etc. composition, and then help them look over all more healthier alternatives that they might select when they go to this fast food restaurant with their family members in the future. Quasi-experimental single group repeated measures design was used to examine the feasibility of the intervention, which addressed specific ADA nutrition recommendations. The baseline measures used to tailor the intervention came from the 24-hour diet recall, diabetes self-management activities that has 5 items related to diet, diabetes knowledge questionnaire that has 3 items related to diet, and the physiologic or biomarkers of glycosylated hemoglobin in BMI. The glycosylated hemoglobin was measured using the DCA 2000 device, and we were able to get results within 6 minutes. So we had the Arizona Diet Behavior and Quality of Life Assessment Center at the Arizona Cancer Center trained bilingual, bicultural data collectors to conduct the 24-hour dietary recall. These were all students that were export fellows at the College of Public Health. The majority of the data were collected in the participants' homes. There were a couple of the 24-hour diet recalls that we did by telephone, and we were very careful to make sure that those individuals were able to describe and provide the containers and the labels so that we knew exactly what they were telling us over the phone. If there were any questions, we followed up with a home visit. Food models were used to establish the portion size. The data collectors used a standardized interview method that was taught during a 2-hour training provided by the Behavioral Assessment Center. The training also included review of the dietary intake record, review of sources of data, error in dietary assessments such as interviewer bias, respondent memory limitations, and respondent inaccuracy. The Diabetes Self-Management Activity Scale is a 14-item scale, and as I said, there were 5 items related to diet, and the 24-hour Diabetes Knowledge Questionnaire has the three items related to diet specifically. This looks at the sample characteristics of the 21 participants who were involved in this feasibility study. The average diabetes duration was 7.2 years. The majority were women and in their mid-50s, and primarily from Mexico or Central America. The average number of years lived in the U.S. was 40 years, but our range was from 6 to 64 years. Spanish was the first language learned by 71% of the participants, and only 23% were fluent in English. Less than half reported being able to read well in English. And the mean number of years of formal education was 10 years, with a range of 4 to 16 years. The group component of the intervention was delivered in Spanish. That was the shared language of all 21 participants. However, the individual component, as well as data collection, was conducted in the participants' preferred language of either English or Spanish, and all the instruments and all the educational materials were in English as well as Spanish. This is the diabetes food pyramid that we're all familiar with, and we used in both the individual and group level intervention for healthy eating. The diabetes food pyramid, thank you, provided the pictorial guide for recommended food groups. 24-hour diet recalls were analyzed using the Minnesota Nutrition Data System research version. The analysis identified the top three foods consumed in each of the food groups, and for the grains and starches, not surprisingly, an average of a little over two tortillas per day came up as the top in the grains and starches. In vegetables was the tomatoes and vegetable juice. Fruits were juices, unfortunately, and we really worked on that. The milk, 2% was most commonly consumed. Meat was dried beans, chicken, and organ meats. And the fats, sweets, and alcohol were oils, butters, soft drinks, regular soft drinks. Cheese, a great deal of cheese, and lard in the preparation of Mexican foods. So we were able to use these findings to emphasize alternative choices within both the group and individual level components of the intervention. This just doesn't want to move. Okay, here we go. This is baseline versus target on consumption of the food groups. And on your left, you can see where the participants were at baseline. You can see the enormous contribution of fat to their diet. And while the ADA recommendations are to minimize fat, the most recent recommendations in the 2007 were to limit saturated fats to less than 7% of total calories. This is a comparison of their food servings within from the 24-hour diet recall as compared to the target servings from ADA. We use baseline data, a comparison of all the participants' 24-hour diet recall and the servings of each food group to target the intervention, and it was tailored to limit saturated fats, again less than 7% of their total calories, decreasing the saturated fats, minimizing the trans fats, use of canola oil and olive oil, and decreasing the manteca or the lard in the tamales and their other foods. You can see that they were below target in grains, vegetables, fruits, and milk, with above in the meat. We also looked at ways to minimize fat related to the meat with their increasing lean meat, removing the skin, trimming the fat, and following the recommendation of at least 2 servings of fish per day. The next slide, oops, we jumped, but I think that's okay. The next slide I was going to show you were the selected nutrients, which pretty much goes over what I've talked about so far, with the exception, thank you, of sodium being 11. I'll try to go back. I don't know if I can. Sodium was about 11% over target. These were selected nutrients specific to diabetes Cholesterol was about 13% above the target, saturated fat about 50% above. This slide right here looks at the behavioral measures. You can see whether they were at pre-intervention on the diabetes self-care activities, specifically related to the diet subscale, and where they were on diabetes knowledge. And we did have an increase at post-intervention on both of those measures. The next one looks at the biomarkers. And the majority of the participants were obese, and their hemoglobin A1C is 7.79. Unfortunately, we had a slight increase on post-intervention. Several people had surgery, were ill. One woman was off of her insulin. However, those that were 10 participants were below the 7% at pre-intervention, or for their hemoglobin A1C remained below, and one person that was above went below at post-intervention. There are several limitations in this study: single-group quasi-experimental design, small sample size, again, generalizability limited due to design and sample size, and the 24-hour diet recall was not repeated at post, which we will do next time. In conclusion, the pilot study demonstrated the feasibility of collecting and using baseline data for tailoring the nutrition component of this diabetes self-management social support intervention. The Promethada delivered nutrition intervention in combination with the CDE delivered educational session was an effective approach for increasing diabetes self-care activities related to diet and increasing their diabetes knowledge and specifically related to diet. The lack of statistically significance in physiologic outcomes is probably due to the lack of power, which is typical of the small pilot studies. And while several of the outcomes were not statistically significant, they demonstrate a positive trend. We need to work, obviously, next time and plan for larger sample sizes. And finally, in terms of policy recommendations, is research that supports well-designed community-based diabetes self-management support and establishes the effectiveness of Promethada as interventionists for decreasing diabetes health disparities in the border region should be supported. Thank you very much.